the biggest mistake we make is if it's not working, oh, it's because Facebook ads don't work. There's something wrong with the algorithm. Instead, look at what you're doing and the different things that you can try, especially on the creative side.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. Welcome to a new month. And I'll be honest, this one feels a little weird. I've now been in e-commerce marketing for 20 years. And from day one, a huge part of the strategy in my e-commerce marketing practice was online ads. Initially just Google, then adding Facebook ads, and then testing others. So the ads piece has always been massively big part of driving success. This podcast, Keep Optimizing, has been going since 2020. And every year we've done a whole month on Facebook ads and a whole month on Google ads. But this year we aren't. We've massively cut back the amount of episodes we're putting out about advertising, which feels super weird, both in terms of the Keep Optimizing schedule and in terms of what I get to talk about. It's really weird. I'm not going to be chatting as much about ads this year, but it is the right thing to be doing because whilst the ad platforms are still super important to get right, they're not the be all and end all anymore. You have got to take a wider view of your marketing and get a far more things right. There's a lot much more layers. We'll even talk about that in this episode about how it's less about understanding the ad platform and it's far more about getting your messaging right and your creative right, your storytelling and all those kind of good things. So whilst it feels really weird, I know that just doing the 1 month on ads is totally the right thing for us to be doing for you this year. But because we're only doing 1 month on ads, it means I've had to work extra hard to get the right guests to bring you the best possible information. So we're still really delivering for all of you tuning in to listen. So we are going to be doing an all you need to know about Google ads later in the month. We're going to be tackling other key topics in ads, but we're kicking it all off with all you need to know about Facebook ads. And I'm super stoked and a little humbled to have this amazing guest joining us. So in this episode, we're going to be looking at what it takes to be successful with Facebook ads right now, what you need to change, what you need to do, and how to make it work. We've got the amazingly brilliant John Luma taking us through all of this, who I'm still really impressed we managed to get as a guest. So get ready. He's really going to deliver for you. Make sure you listen right to the end of the episode because you do not want to miss his quickfire insider tips. And you really want those to maximize the performance of your advertising. And then I'll be sharing my own take on it all and outlining a few other ways we can help you improve your advertising even more. So listen to the end, everybody. You won't regret it. Let me tell you about Leaf. Leaf is a technology and data science company that offers managed performance marketing solutions for high-growth D2C brands, enhancing decision-making and media spend efficiency with Leaf Grow. In a post-attribution era complicated by GA4's revenue under-reporting and Google's third-party cookie phase-out, budget allocation can become a guessing game. Thriving brands now employ advanced conversion tracking, data warehousing, analytics, performance forecasting, cross-channel strategies, and creative execution for better attribution and insights. So prioritizing retention and profitable growth requires a solid data and performance marketing strategy. To help you, Leaf is offering you a performance data audit to pinpoint gaps and optimize media spend, promising you smarter decisions and improved ROI across channels, campaigns, creatives, and products. Find out more and get your audit at keepopt.com/Leaf. That's keepopt.com/LEAF. In this episode, I'm chatting with online advertising expert John Luma. John's been helping marketers and entrepreneurs reach their business goals through advanced Facebook marketing strategies since 2011. And he's, in my opinion, a must follow if you want to know what's working right now on Facebook ads. Hello, John.
Hello, Chloe. Thanks so much for having me.
Brilliant to have you here, being our light shiner on the world of Facebook ads for this little mini series. How did you end up in the world of online advertising?
A bit accidentally. So my first exposure to Facebook was with the National Basketball Association back in 2017. Or 2007. Oof, I can't even get my number. That's so long ago. And so we partnered with Facebook. If you think back, this is when it first emerged beyond the college kids, high school kids. So there are 50 million people on the platform. And so I was kind of on that cutting edge of using Facebook for business purposes with the NBA. I fell in love with the platform at the time. I left the NBA after 2008 season. And then I had a couple of layoffs after that. And as a result of that, I was like, well, okay, I'm not going to go work for someone I have no control over my situation. I'm just going to start a website and see where it goes. And I used Facebook ads to help build my brand with it. I really didn't know what I was going to do. It's just that I was comfortable with social media, with marketing at the time. And it just kind of went from there. I was spending, because I was the lone breadwinner in the family, I was spending like seriously $1 a day on Facebook ads. But it helped me understand how to use it. And back then, you could actually kind of make an impact with it at $1 a day. So then as I was using it, I started writing about what I was doing. And things just really started hitting, you know, I say 2011, that's when I started, but I really didn't even know I was going to have a business. And it really wasn't primarily focused on Facebook ads at the time. I didn't know how to start a business. It was really 2012, once I've had a constant stream of traffic, I was building an email list and like, okay, I guess I'm going to sell something. So that happened kind of second half of 2012. But yeah, that's been the journey.
Is it fair to say Facebook ads remains the core of what you're helping people with now, or are there other elements you're doing too?
Yeah, meta ads. Yes, that's core. So, you know, I've kind of experimented with branching off here and there, but ultimately that's what I'm known for. And so the vast majority of my content is about meta advertising. I have private memberships, so that's what it's focused on. People book one-on-ones with me. It's almost always talking about their meta ad strategy.
And is it meta ads or Facebook ads now? What are the majority of people saying?
Look, the past couple of years, I've been doing all I can. At first, I was in the phase of resisting. I was like, no, I'm only going to say Facebook ads. There is an SEO element to it, which is really frustrating because mm-hmm. my website had been known for Facebook ads. Now, do I keep saying Facebook ads or do I say meta? So I've been trying to bring myself to say meta ads more and more. So I do on my website. And I think people still search for Facebook ads, though. So it's very confusing.
I have exactly the same thing. The reason I'm saying Facebook ads is because we're going to call this episode a Facebook ads episode because I think that's what the audience are going to look for. So I think we'll get more listens off Facebook ads than we will off meta ads. But yeah, so frustrating. Why did they have to change the name? Anyway, damn them. So enough of our SEO quandaries. Facebook ads right now for the e-commerce business owner, the e-commerce marketer, what do they need to know to drive the results?
Well, honestly, I think it's in a way easier if you are a new advertiser now, as opposed to someone who's been advertising like us for years, because of how much has changed. And I think the typical advertiser who's been advertising for many years many of them don't really trust all these changes that have happened, and they're stubborn and want to keep doing the things the way that we always have. The reality is, it's much of it, I really don't want to say it's turnkey in the sense that we have a lot of responsibilities. It's not easy, but we overcomplicate some of the things that are pretty straightforward. So just know that on the campaign and ad set side, things are much more straightforward than they ever were before. Your campaign, what is your objective? What are you trying to accomplish? That doesn't necessarily determine your delivery, but what are you trying to accomplish? Don't get cute. The ad set, what is your performance goal? This is going to decide how your ads get delivered. So don't say, I want link clicks if ultimately you want some sort of purchase or conversion. Define what it is you want, because that's what the algorithm is going to try to get for you. On the targeting side, this is honestly one of the areas where it's much simpler. And this isn't to say, and this is where I think some advertisers get defensive and like, oh, broad targeting doesn't always work. It doesn't always work for me and this and that. Okay, there are weaknesses. It's not perfect, but it's really hard to avoid right now. So even if you use like original targeting methods, if you're optimizing for any type of conversion, your audience is going to expand. Basically, your targeting inputs mean less than ever before. So don't waste a whole bunch of time worrying about them. If you're optimizing for any type of conversion, more often than not, use Advantage Plus Audience. Give it a few suggestions, make yourself happy, where it's a starting point. And then it's going to find your audience based on results, trying to get the result that you defined as your goal. Really, on that campaign ad set side, it's pretty straightforward. Placements, that's something that we used to mess around with a lot back in the day. If it's for conversion, don't even worry about it. Really, the vast majority of your time is going to be spent on making sure that your ad copy and creative are correct.
So it swung that, I mean, I know like we're in the world of swinging towards the creative, but it is literally move all that effort you were putting into targeting and put it all into creating more creative, better creative, feed that into Facebook and let it decide what it's going to show and where it's going to show it. It feels like we've gone from 90% targeting focus to 90% creative focus. Would that be a fair simplification, massive simplification of where we're at?
Well, when it comes to the creation of the campaign, yes, right? Because I don't want it to seem like we don't have any other responsibilities beyond that, because otherwise then it sounds really simple. But attribution is a big one, making sure that's all set up properly and that you're able to analyze those results. But in terms of actual creation of the campaign, defining what you want properly, making sure everything's set up on the back end so that Meta can find those events, because usually a conversion. Keep that really simple, because as long as you don't get cute, it's hard to mess that up. That makes it easier in terms of troubleshooting, like, oh, this isn't working. Well, okay, well, what else can I do with the ad, right? So is it my offer? Do I have a terrible offer? Am I sending people to my website? Is there a bad user experience on the website? Do I need to try something different with copy and creative? So it at least simplifies your approach that in the past is like, oh, which of these millions of things do I need to tweak to get better results? Now, as long as you understand how this thing works and you don't get cute on the campaign and ad set, because you can really mess stuff up by getting cute on the campaign and ad set, then your focus is much more streamlined and like, okay, I gotta change something on the ad side.
I'm gonna say something which may be controversial here.
Uh-oh.
But I feel like the shift that's happened on Facebook ads is kind of like a mindset one, from being a technical advertiser to thinking far more about the customer and the customer journey. It's almost like we're not ad optimizers anymore, we're customer journey optimizers, but that journey is starting from when they see the ad. And we've got to work on all of that in order to give the algorithm the best chance of delivering us the results, from conversion rate on the website through to the ads that people can see.
Absolutely. And I would say that I am one of the people that doesn't really favor, because I don't really like working on the ad side. I like doing all the technical stuff, right? So I get it for anyone who's resisted, because all those levers that you could pull, the testing, the multiple ad sets, the different audiences, all that stuff, that was fun. And we felt like that was us showing our value as advertisers, right? And not to mention it was cheap. So that was the big deal. The fact that it was so cheap to reach people, and then you could segment audiences and segment by optimization and all that kind of stuff. And all that would actually work pretty well and focus on super small, hyper-targeted groups of people. But the landscape's changed. I mean, first of all, it's much more expensive to reach people, so all that stuff is counterproductive. But yeah, it's the focus is absolutely shifted to that customer journey, to the psychology of getting the action that you're wanting. I think the danger too is getting too wrapped up in treating people like robots. Like, you know, the algorithm should find these people. Like, well, why isn't the algorithm hasn't found these people? What is it that you haven't done properly that you can fix? And a lot of times there are things that are just outside of your control if you're advertising for others. So if they have a bad website, if they have a bad product, bad offer, I mean, those are things that are really hard to get around, and you can't just magically get conversions.
I totally get where you're coming from. I used to run a Google Ads agency. So yeah, so much happier with like tweaking the settings and the numbers and all that kind of stuff rather than the creative stuff. It's so cool, but it's such a waste of time, 90% of it these days.
It is now.
But the one technical bit where I think a lot of brands are screwing up is with their pixel setup, or the, dare we use the word, events, which I think a lot of people just go, oh God, why can't I just install the pixel and it works? So you were saying about how, you know, the algorithm doesn't work if we're not giving it the information we need. And a huge part of that information is the creative, but another huge part of that information is our event setup. What event setup do you recommend for an e-commerce business? It's like table stakes, I suppose.
So the goal of an event is to define something that's important to you. So, and not only define it, but define it thoroughly. So that's why we talk about pixel events. We talk about API events, because we need Meta or Facebook or whatever we're calling it to know that this event happened, not only so it can be reported and attributed to our ad, but so that it can properly optimize and show it to more people like that. But also so the targeting, exclusions, and all that can work as well. Because if we're not properly doing that, that's going to be a big hole in that entire process. So when it comes to events, talking about standard events, so when it, for an e-commerce business, a lot of that, if you use Shopify, is probably, it should be set up automatically, right? So it's the purchase event, add to cart, initiate, checkout, all that business. And so those are all important as part of the purchase flow. You should have the API set up as well, which, again, with a lot of these third-party tools, it's just a matter of checking a box for the most part and getting that set up.
What's the difference between the pixel and the API? Because I know a lot of people have, to use what's probably a horrible British phrase, got their knickers completely in a twist, trying to work out, what's this pixel thing? What's this API? Do I, as a small business, do I even need to bother with the APIs? Is it any big business? And they just get properly screwed up with it.
I think the best way to explain it, so the pixel is really just, it's a snippet of code that you throw on your website. And every time a page loads, refreshes, that pixel will fire. If there's an event there or whatever, it'll be sent to Meta. So like the most common scenario, a purchase happens if this confirmation page loads, right? So it loads, that pixel is there on the page, that snippet of code. So then Meta is alerted that this person loaded that page and completed a purchase. So the problem with the pixel is that, and look, this is where it gets a little bit technical in the weeds, even for me, where I'm probably going to say something's wrong, but that it's not dependable these days, especially like there's a lot of cookie blocking and things like that that are impacting the browser pixel from loading. So it's not 100% dependable, and you need it to be dependable. So the nice thing about the API, and there are various versions of the API, you have the web version, which most common, I think, would probably be the API gateway, where it really just kind of piggybacks off of the pixel events that are there, sends first-party data, right? So that's the key here, is it's coming from you as opposed to technically from Meta, which is what the pixel is. So sending that first-party, so that's going to make your data more complete. And I can tell you, for me, and within your events manager, if you go into your event overview page, if you use both the pixel and the API, it'll actually tell you how many extra events you're sending as a result of using the API. And for each of my events, it's anywhere from like 7% to 20, 25% sending more. So that's a really good thing. So from a very simplified point of view to explain the importance of the API, it sends more data and from you, as opposed to just the pixel itself. I mean, you could probably make the argument, you're going to scrap the pixel entirely. We might get to that point eventually, but there's really no reason to do that at this point. There might be times where, for whatever reason, the API doesn't work and the pixel does. So there are other versions of the API too. You can send CRM data. So anything that's coming from you, you know, from your business, you could send to Meta to provide a complete view. A good example of where that comes into play is like offline events. So you got people who come into your physical store, provide their information, make this big purchase. You could send that to Meta so then they know that this person who saw your ad, maybe clicked on your ad, they ended up coming to your store and making a purchase. And so it's attributed to an ad, that conversion. So as simplified as I guess I could get on explaining that.
I thought that was one of the best explanations of that I've heard. And those numbers, like the 7% to 20% more events being tracked because you've got both the API and the pixel in place, that's a big impact. Because it's like on the pure attribution, you're getting much better data. But is that extra data goes into the algorithm, it's multiplied, essentially. So it's making, to your overall ROI, ROAS, whatever we want to call it, it must be making much more than that impact to the profitability of your campaign. So it seems like a bit of a no-brainer. Is it as easy now? I know it was really hard when it first came out. Is it as easy now to put in the API as to put in the pixel?
It really depends. So like I said, like with Shopify, it's a matter of just turn it on pretty much, you know? But for me, someone who doesn't have an e-commerce website, this was something I actually struggled with for a couple of years. First, it was a struggle just getting set up with the API gateway, which it was not easy. Maybe 3 years ago or so, 4 years ago, not only was it technically complicated, it was expensive. So you had to set it up with an Amazon server. It was $80 to $100 a month. And it was like, okay, it's valuable, but is it that valuable? And then so I got to the point where I actually turned that off because then some hidden fees started coming in from Amazon after a year. And then I started using some free options. And then I switched to Stape. And that's what I've used ever since. So Stape actually, I'm not sure really how they do this, but they give you another way to access the API gateway for a fraction of the cost. It's just $10 a month. So if you don't have like a Shopify easy integration to the API, that is my recommendation. I don't have any connection to Stape or anything. Mm-hmm. I did do a tutorial on it at johnlumer.com/Stape, S-T-A-P-E. So that is the difficult part about so much with the pixel and conversion events, API, the offline, the integration, CRM integration. Oh my gosh, I'm not even beginning to talk about unless you want to get to the CRM integration I've been trying to get through for the last few years, and I think I'm finally there. The problem is there are just so many different ways to do it, depending on, like with the web API, like what is the platform your website is built on, right? That's why with Shopify, they've got something built into Shopify to make that easy. If you don't have Shopify, you've got to find another solution. And the same thing with CRM integration. What is your CRM? That's step number one. And everybody has a different CRM. So I feel like Meta's got to come up with some sort of streamlined approach to this, because if it's complicated and confusing and frustrating for me, it's going to be complicated and frustrating and confusing for a lot of people.
Which is going to be costing them cash.
Yes.
Simply and straightforwardly. One thing we haven't mentioned, which we probably should, is shopping campaigns. Are they now, I know they exist on Meta ads, are they a good thing or a bad thing? Because they seemed very quiet for a long time when they first came out. So are they worth pursuing?
Absolutely. So this is actually the more advanced example of machine learning, AI, use whatever we're calling it, for Meta automation, streamlined campaigns. And I think maybe the mistake Meta made was they released that first before things like Advantage Plus Audience. Advantage Plus Shopping makes a lot more sense after you've kind of experimented a little bit with Advantage Plus Audience and seen some success with it. Because basically what Advantage Plus Shopping is, it's everything we've talked about where it's shifting to the ad, but like you don't even have options basically with create some of these settings within the campaign and the ad set. It's much more streamlined. So there's no targeting really at all. It's just trusting the algorithm, which in this case makes sense because the algorithm is focused on one thing. It's getting you purchases, and it's going to start with people based on your conversion history, pixel data, who have engaged with you before. So there's actually remarketing happening there. You just don't feel like you have any control. It's a much more streamlined, simple approach. It is even more obvious that it's the creative that is your focus. I mean, Meta even says there that it encourages you to provide more ads, right? It can use up to 150 different creative combinations at once for an Advantage Plus Shopping campaign. So essentially, if you're running any kind of e-commerce business, and if you normally run purchases campaigns like the manual way, and you have some success, you should try Advantage Plus Shopping. See if you actually get better results that way. It really is for primarily the e-commerce brands.
Nice. See, I knew we needed to cover that off. Thank you so much, John. It's been great picking your brains about Facebook ads. Listeners, make sure you stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on John's insider tips on all of this and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Let me tell you about Leaf. Leaf is a technology and data science company that offers managed performance marketing solutions for high-growth D2C brands, enhancing decision-making and media spend efficiency with Leaf Grow. In a post-attribution era complicated by GA4's revenue under-reporting and Google's third-party cookie phase-out, budget allocation can become a guessing game. Thriving brands now employ advanced conversion tracking, data warehousing, analytics, performance forecasting, cross-channel strategies, and creative execution for better attribution and insights. So prioritizing retention and profitable growth requires a solid data and performance marketing strategy. To help you, Leaf is offering you a performance data audit to pinpoint gaps and optimize media spend, promising you smarter decisions and improved ROI across channels, campaigns, creatives, and products. Find out more and get your audit at keepopt.com/Leaf. That's keepopt.com/LEAF. Okay, John. So far, we've gone deep into Facebook ads. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of online advertising and marketing. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with online advertising and marketing, which of course includes everything we've already been talking about. So John, are you ready for the insider tips?
Sure.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Keep it simple. And I think that's the biggest issue right now is advertisers wanting to prove their worth, overcomplicate things. So what is your goal? Make sure that goal is defined properly and spend a whole lot of time on the creative side and make sure it gets right. I think the biggest mistake we make is if it's not working, oh, it's because Facebook ads don't work. There's something wrong with the algorithm. Instead, look at what you're doing and the different things that you can try, especially on the creative side.
Yeah, keep it simple, everybody. Simple, simple, simple. Okay, now once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
It's got to be on the creative side, right? So there are really two different things. Favorite for me is going to be about how I've defined my goal, right? So an example would be my business is built primarily around generating high quality traffic to my website. Well, the biggest problem with that is there's no built-in way to do that. So reading my blog, right? Yes, I can run traffic campaigns that optimize for link clicks and landing page views. Anyone who's done that probably knows it's probably going to result in a whole lot of low-quality traffic. So again, problem solving, how can I define the type of visitor that I want? That's when I started creating custom events years ago, and I would optimize for things like they've spent a minute on the page, they've scrolled, they've watched an embedded YouTube video on the page, like all these things, I'd start to track those things and optimize for. So the main point being, optimize for the thing that you really want. The other thing could be like leads. This is another thing I'm experimenting with right now. Do you want a lead or do you want someone who actually ends up performing this other action down the road? If you complain about quality of leads, that's also somewhere you can help Meta know what it is you actually want. Otherwise, they're just going to try to get you a bunch of leads, and whatever you do with them is up to you. So there's this conversion leads optimization that I've been setting up for the last several months that I've been experimenting as well. So this is my favorite. For the typical advertiser, the most obvious optimization is always going to be on the ad side. Create a new ad, try a different approach, copy, creative. You can use the multiple text options. So if you're not really sure, you know, what you want to use. You don't have to throw it into five different ads. You can throw it all into one ad. You can also use dynamic creative. So you can put a bunch of different images or videos in there and let Meta mix and match. So that isn't one favorite approach, I guess, but there you go.
No, I like it though. I was getting very excited about the super techie option there. but then I love the fact you balanced it out with the ad development too. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
So I did just come out with a new free offer that I'm kind of excited about. It's called Cornerstone Advertising Tips. So something I've realized over the last, I've had this website since 2011, but especially over the last couple of years, I've spent a lot of time creating content that I think gets buried, but they're like, I want to make it like guides, best practices, how to get started with Advantage Plus audience, Advantage Plus shopping, you know, optimization, all these things. But I know they're hard to find. So I created this thing called Cornerstone, where you'll get a different tip emailed to your inbox every Monday. And for now, it's going at least 17 weeks, but it could easily go for an entire year. So we'll see. But you can subscribe to that at johnloomer.com/cornerstone.
I love that. johnloomer.com/cornerstone, everybody. What a great way of highlighting, I guess, surfacing, we have to say these days, don't we? But highlighting that brilliant content that sat there on the website to really help people out. Really love that. Great idea. I wonder if I can do that. She's going to go off on a tangent. But while she does that, she ought to ask John another question. So finally, John, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I mean, it's I don't have a crystal ball. It's a lot of guesses, but it's following the trends. Rumor is, and this would surprise me actually, but rumor is that ads are coming to Threads by the end of the year, which it wasn't supposed to. It was supposed to be not until they got to 1 billion active users, but that's the rumor right now. So that would be a new placement. More inventory could help with costs. Beyond that, I would anticipate this trend of being more streamlined, more automation that we're seeing, especially within shopping campaigns, sales campaigns, to move to other types of campaigns. So we'll probably have less and less control. If you want more and more control in your ad set and you're frustrated about the current path, I'm guessing it's going to get even more so, where you don't have the option to, say, switch back to original audiences. As an example, it's like there's really no reason, very few reasons to be able to do that right now. So I would expect an Advantage Plus shopping-like approach to things like leads and potentially other objectives as well. And that just seems like the logical continuation of this trend.
Yeah, it seems with all the privacy changes, if we group together all the stuff under that phrase, and then the increasing powers of AI machine learning algorithms, call them what you will, then we are, you know, the natural trajectory of Google ads, Meta ads, podcast advertising, TV advertising is increasingly towards the algorithm chooses what gets shown where. And we've just got to get our heads around sooner rather than later that we're in charge of the creative and the basic and feeding the algorithm the right stuff. And then the algorithm delivers. And if we can't get our heads around that, we're going to have a very frustrating next decade.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it, because too many advertisers seem to think that Meta's just trying to make it difficult for us. But this is in response to so many big events over the last almost a decade now, right? I mean, start with Cambridge Analytica and other lawsuits that Meta and Facebook have faced for discrimination and other ways that advertising has been used to manipulate. So really, they want to take that power away from you, partially to protect them, but really to protect you as well, so you don't violate those rules and laws. And so to make it more algorithmic, first of all, makes sense. But also, yeah, we have this growth in AI and machine learning. It's not perfect right now, but it's getting better. Like in a year or two, our manual approach is really going to be better than this automated machine learning. I just don't think that's realistic. So absolutely embrace it. Get on that train. It's just going to get louder and louder.
There you go, everyone. You didn't hear it here first, but hopefully you will finally take action. Yeah. John, it's been brilliant chatting with you. We're nearly at the end of the show, though. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, johnloomer.com, first of all, and beyond that, at John Loomer, just about everywhere. So within the last year and a half or so, I've committed myself to daily short form video too. So you can find me on TikTok, as long as we've got that, on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube Shorts and even LinkedIn, but also on my website. That's why, you know, my website's probably the best place, because I also publish those same short form videos there with a quick blog post. So that would be the way to go.
Okay, everybody, johnlumer.com to find all of John's helpful advice. So John, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast. It's been a pleasure getting to chat with you and pick your brains about what's going on in Facebook ads right now. So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing it with us all.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Thanks so much, Chloe.
Okay, there you go. Some foundational stuff to get right in your Facebook ads, your Meta ads campaigns, if you haven't already. Number one, make that mindset shift. It's all about your creative and the information you feed into that algorithm rather than tweaking your targeting settings. I think you got that loud and clear from that session. Definitely get the API set up. If you're on Shopify, it sounds like it's super easy. If you're not, then that tool Stape, S-T-A-P-E, that John was talking about sounds like an absolute game changer in making it an awful lot more simple and more cost effective to put in place manually. CRM data, feeding that up. If you're on one of the main e-commerce CRM platforms like Klaviyo or Omnisend, that process is a lot easier than John's been finding it. So don't let that scare you off. Getting those syncs in place, great for VIP stuff and deduping people from campaigns as well. Shopping campaigns, if you're not doing those, clearly you need to be testing it out. And feed the algorithm. Get the algorithm the information it needs to do a good job for you. That is your responsibility. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. Or you can use our special direct to episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct episode page. When you get to their website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode and want to continue learning about online advertising right now, then scroll back up your feed to episodes 155 to 158, which were last year's Facebook ad series, very much on message with what we've been talking about today, but going deeper into different aspects of how you can make it work for your store. They are well worth a listen. So scroll up 155 to 158. They all start with the word Facebook ads, or possibly Meta ads, and you can dive into those right now. And you can find all our online advertising content that we'll be putting out this month via the short link keepopt.com/advertising. That will take you to the page on the website where we're going to put it all. And please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help all of you to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing, and this month specifically your online advertising. So please do tell someone else about the show so we can help them too. Have a great week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Don't forget to request your performance data audit from Leaf. Go to keepopt.com/Leaf now.